Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Hi, Maplewood family. It's Pastor Joe welcoming you to our podcast for the week of July 4th. Pastor Vicki and I are on vacation this week, but we are very pleased to be able to share with you a great message this morning from Pastor Ed Klett. And before Ed speaks this morning, a special message from one of our faithful family members whose family has been really going through quite a situation recently. We're going to share with you a testimony from Paul Grandinette as we open up our service today. We hope you're encouraged by Paul's testimony and Ed's message.
I'm going to ask Paul Grandinette to come forward. He has a few words he'd like to say.
Hi, guys. So I would be remiss to say that, I don't really want to be up here, and I don't think that I should be up here, but especially with everything that's happened this past week. So you know PJ, since last Sunday, he's been in the hospital. It's been really hard for all of us. This past week at work was beyond horrible. I don't know if anybody reads the newspaper, but where I work was in the newspaper because of a water issue, so it directly impacted me. But I'm up here because I cannot get things out of my head that God is telling me and pushing me and nudging me to do. So what the pastor had been talking about for the past couple of weeks about everybody being shepherds for your flock and shepherds for the circle of influence. Like, God has been telling me that I need to go talk to people and I need to put myself out there and, you know, give a story and tell a testimony and just, you know, show people the light of God, to show them how to find hope and happiness. And I'm like, really? Don't you think I have enough on my plate? Don't you think, God, that you have given me enough stuff to make me just, like, busy all the time and crawl in a hole and just cry because there's nothing else that you can do? And I keep asking him this. I'm like, God, come on. Why? Have you not given me enough? God tells me, the point is, I have given you enough. That's why you're in the position you're in, is because I've given you enough. I gave you a loving family. I gave you the ability to have a job that you can bring home money. I gave you a wife that helps hold the family together. I gave you two beautiful children that mean the world to you. I have given you enough. The only thing I ask of you is to go out and tell people how much you've been given and how great I am to you so that I can be great to them too. And then when the pastor starts talking about this, I'm like, exactly. We need to go as a church out and tell people how good we have it. We have had so much pain and sickness in this church and people that just have a rough time and a rough go at it. And I see it. I'm part of it. This church, the faith here is absolutely amazing. And if we can bring food trucks in, and that's what it takes, or we have to go out to nursing homes to show people, like, we can do that, because while we might be small, we are mighty, and we are mighty in the Lord because we fight in his name. Amen. And just all that the church asks of you and all that God asks of you guys is to just, you go out and talk to people about him. I had a crappy time at work this week, and at one point in time, I just decided that I couldn't take it anymore, and I picked up the Bible at work. I work at a state university, and I have a Bible at my desk. I picked it up, and I started reading it. Exactly where I left off, I've been reading in Matthew, and I was stressed out beyond belief. My coworker was sitting there next to me. I told him, I was like, I'm picking up the Bible, I'm reading it. If you don't like it, there's the door. He's like, nope, that's cool, dude, you do whatever. I started reading it out loud to him. And wouldn't you know it, not only did it calm him down, it calmed me down. It was talking about how you just need to let everything go out of your hands and let God worry about it. I'm like, really? So where I stopped reading the last time, and I pick it up now because I'm stressed out about this water situation at my work. I don't know what to do. Friday, I was about to just walk out. I was so stressed out. And I pick it up, I start reading it, and it's calming me down, telling me how I just need to stop worrying about things, let God worry about it. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He gives us the ability. He gives us the strength. He gives us the power. He gives us the knowledge. He gives us everything we need to walk out in this world and help other people find out that he's already given them the same thing. They just need to understand it. They need to listen to it on the inside, and they need to just open their eyes and see. Like, God smacked me in the back of the head. He's like, you're going to do this. I don't care. I'm like, wife, sick, surgeries, kid, sick, going to have surgeries. Like, come on. And he's like, I gave you everything. You already have it. Use it. So I'm up here now just saying, God's given you the ability. God's given you guys the gifts too. If I can use them, you can use them. All you have to do is open your eyes and figure out how.
Wasn't that good? Amen. I think the devil's a little shaky right now. Let's make some noise. All right. Woo. I love hearing that. I love hearing that. You feel like you've been in church already, right?
Amen.
So I can go home now? Almost had a couple amens on that one. All right. Well, this morning I want to just start off with reading just a little bit of scripture. I'm going to go into Luke 15, 4 through 7. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors and together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent. And I think what Paul was talking about is we're supposed to be talking to the one sinner that needs to repent. We need to be out there. But people are a strange bunch, aren't they?
Amen.
Y'all got mirrors. You know what I'm talking about. Come on now. I know. I looked in that mirror this morning. Everyone acts so different. Everyone talks so different, looks so different. Everyone thinks so differently and even believes so differently. And we all know we all dress differently, right? Come on. Yeah, you can wear your jammies to church if you want to. We're good with that. Swim trunks even. I'm good. I'm not going to throw you out. We won't tell the pastors. That's okay. Stephen, no telling your mom and dad. But people are a strange bunch. But when it comes right down to it, aren't we really more alike than we are different? You know, people, all people, each and every one of us, each and every person, Springfield, Clark County, Ohio, the world, we're all created in God's image. We all carry God's image. Doesn't that make us family? Doesn't that make us all family? And you know, not all of us like our family, but you know, we love them. We love them. Quit laughing, Roman. But think about it. We're all family, and yes, there are many differences, and those differences are so easy to spot when that's all we're looking for. Isn't that sometimes how it is? We're just looking for a reason to make someone different than us. We just say, oh yeah, they're this, they're that, they're this. What about they're just like me because they're my family? But what happens, what changes, what's different when we start looking for what we have in common? What we have in common. Or at least when we start looking to see things that brought that person to where they're at, made that person make those decisions. You know, we can sit back sometimes, and I've been guilty of it. If that happened to me, this is what I would do. You ever say that? But if that ain't happened to you yet, you don't know that's what you would do. So when we look at other people and think, oh man, that was a stupid decision, I haven't been in that position, so I can't really say that. We can make assumptions about people's lives without knowing where they're coming from. You know, and maybe when we start to get to know people that are different than us, we start to understand a little bit about what we have in common. All these different things that we look at that separate us, but there's so many different things that we have in common with people. It's just amazing. And maybe we can open our eyes and open our minds to someone else's perspective. You know, when I started going into the jail, I thought, I ain't got nothing in common with none of these people. They're all criminals. Really? What do I got in common with them? I've never been in jail. But then when I started talking to them, when I started talking to these people that Jesus died for, that are my brothers, then I started to understand that I got more in common with them than I think. We got a lot in common. And when I went in there and started understanding their perspectives on things, you know, and I won't ask anybody to raise their hand on this one. Have you ever looked down on someone who's addicted to drugs? And as somebody raised their hand, but I saw a few nods. But, you know, when I got in there and started understanding a little bit more about that, like the young man whose funeral I was at earlier this year, the first time he ever shot up was with his dad. Now you think about that. Your dad ever take you fishing or take you hunting or teach you how to play an instrument or something like that? What if your dad was teaching you how to shoot up? Isn't that, wouldn't we probably get into that lifestyle? But you know, like I said, we're all so different. But we're all so much the same. And when we get to know other people, we find out that we have many traits, ideas, and thoughts that are just like other people. Some of them good, maybe some of them not so good. Remember, Paul said, we're all sinners. Yep. All have sinned, fall short of the glory. But this morning, I want to look at three people in the Gospel of Luke. That I want to look at some of the traits they have, some of the things they got going on in their lives. And I want to ask us, as we look at these people, can we relate to them, or are they totally different than us? In the story of the prodigal son, he represents people that are lost and will hopefully come back and return home, right? Do you love gifts? Do you love gifts this morning?
Yes.
Birthday gifts? Christmas presents, y'all love that?
Yeah.
Okay, three people love gifts. I'll remember that when it's time. Y'all, the rest of you, no, sir. But the man simply known as a prodigal son, he certainly loved gifts. He loved possessions, he loved what he could get, he loved stuff. In fact, he loved gifts so much that he was blind to the love of the giver. You ever think about that? You ever think about, man, maybe I don't love the one given to me, but I sure love what they give me. Luke 15, 11 through 13. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property coming to me. And he divided the property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey to a far country where he squandered his property in reckless living. You see, the prodigal son was so blinded by this stuff that he had coming to him that he couldn't see the love of his father. He missed out on the love of his father because he loved the gifts so much. I'd be lying if I said I've never felt that way, right? We just want what we can be given. He just couldn't see that love. This love the Father had for him wasn't important to him. He just wanted the gifts he could give. He just wanted what was coming to him, the stuff that when his dad died, he would inherit. So basically, if you think about it, the son was saying, you're already dead to me, I just want your stuff. Woo! You know, He just looked at his father and said, hey, give me everything coming to me and give it to me now. You know, it's my money and I want it now, right? But can't we be like that sometimes? If you think about it, really, really think about it. Have you ever wanted God to give you something? To bless you in some ways, but you weren't really sure you wanted God? Y'all quiet. I don't know if that's good or bad. Have you ever thought how much you want heaven, but you're not sure you really want all this Jesus stuff? Think about it. Do you want Jesus this morning, or do you just want heaven? You in church because you think that'll get you to heaven, or do you want to get more Jesus?
More Jesus.
All right. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Do you say this to God? Do you say this to Jesus? Come on now, give me that blessing, give me that healing, give me that car, give me that house. Thank you. See you next Sunday. How easy that is for us, though, right? I see a few nods now, and you get a little more loud, okay? You know, God will give us. He is the giver of all good gifts. He's the giver of everything good in our lives. And I just want to love Him more. I just want more of Him. You know, sometimes the stuff He gives us, I don't deserve. Actually, none of the stuff He gives us I deserve. But He gives it to us. And the Father in this story, the Father represents our Father, our God. Right? And you think about the way he was treated by the prodigal. Even after the prodigal son slapped him in the face, maybe not physically, but verbally, you're dead to me, give me my stuff. The father still loved the child and waited for his return. That sound familiar? That sound like the God we serve? Luke 15:20, this is after the prodigal son decided to return home. Father says, but why, or Jesus said, while the son was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. See, the father loved his son. The father loved his son so much. Day after day after day after day, he waited there for his son to return. He waited. But you see, his love wasn't based on what the son did. If his love was based on what the son did, he probably wouldn't have loved the son so much, right? But his love is based on his own character. The character of the father said he couldn't not love that son. No matter what, he couldn't not love that son. He had to love that son. There was no condition on the father's love. No conditions. No matter what that son did, he was going to love him. He was going to love him. The son's actions didn't earn his love. Even the son's return didn't earn his love. The father loved his son because he wanted to. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could do that? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could love people just because we wanted to? And I'm not talking about your family. That's a little easier. Okay? Not talking about your own family, your children, your spouse, your parents, your brothers, sisters, whatever. Because Jesus went a lot deeper than that in his preaching. He went a whole lot deeper than that in his preaching, right? Love your enemy. Paul said he was reading the Gospel of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemy. Love your neighbor too, but love your enemy. Treat others good even when they treat you bad. That's hard. You ever had someone treat you bad, but you still treat them good no matter what? That's not easy. It's what we're called to do. Reaching out a loving hand to those who don't deserve it. That sound like our God? Does it sound like our church? That's amazing love, isn't it? That is amazing love. That is amazing grace right there. Amen. To love others, whether or not they deserve it, whether or not they need it, we're called to do it. We're called to do it. What would this world look like if we did that? If we truly started loving people, even when they don't deserve it, even when they treat us bad, even when they're mean to us, even when they hate us, even when they spit on us, slap us, and we love them anyway. Woo! Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy right now, but that's okay. But what would our church look like if we did that? Somebody said full, didn't they? Woo! It's not so much this morning, but hey. Can we, like the Father, choose to love not based on merit? Can we, like the Father, choose to love people? Young man parked in our parking lot this morning because he was going swimming. You know what? I didn't say you shouldn't be parking here. This ain't your lot. I didn't say nothing bad to him. I said, hey, how you doing? You know? He said, hey, I was just going swimming. I said, well, it's a good day for it, isn't it? It's going to be hot out here. You know? I don't care if he parks there. Somebody might, but I don't care. But we can love that man, not based on merit, not based on who he is or what he does, but just based on our decision to love him because that's how God is with us. Amen. My Heavenly Father loves me, not based on what I've done, not even what I'm doing now. Yeah, he called me to preach, but you know what? Even if I'd said no, he would still love me. Amen. He would still love me. But what about the older son? There's one more character in this story, right? The older son. One more character. The older son represents... Well, hang on. Yeah, I'm not going to go there yet. Can't do that yet. If you're familiar with the story of the prodigal son, how many people have read it at least once? All right. The prodigal son. What do you think would have happened if on his way back, the prodigal son had encountered the older son before he got home? How do you think that story would have ended? He wouldn't have been welcome. Anybody else got a thought? No? Do you think the older son would have prevented the younger son from coming home? Do you think he would have stood in his way? Yeah. He would have stood in his way. He would have said, no, you got to go that way. You're not coming home. You're not coming back. You're not coming back. I don't think he would have even got to a point where the father could have seen him. He would have stopped him so far away. Does the older son represent the church?
No.
No? Yes, no, maybe, sometimes, ever? Sometimes, maybe, okay. Shouldn't, thank you. But sometimes, maybe. All right. Hopefully not here. Luke 15:28-30. This is talking about when the older son confronted the dad about what he was seeing, about this party he was thrown for the prodigal. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and he answered the father, look, these many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, you ever have a parent that says that to the other parent? That son of yours. That means they ain't claiming him right now. But when this son of yours came home, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. What about me? Can you hear that in his voice? What about me? I've been here all this time. I've served you faithfully. What about me? Sounds like someone was jealous, don't it? A little bit. Sounds like someone wants to keep the father's love all for himself. He doesn't want that younger son celebrated or anything. He just wants him to go. And he doesn't understand the father's love for that prodigal son. He doesn't understand that the father has more than enough love to go around for the entire family. The entire family. He has more than enough love. You know, I don't think, like we said, I don't think the older son would have allowed the prodigal son to come home if he could have prevented it, if he had had opportunity to prevent it. He would have gotten in the way. I mean, he wouldn't even celebrate with his dad. His dad was ecstatic. His dad was so happy that this son had returned home. And the prodigal just like, huh? I don't care. You need to treat me better because I've been here all along. Ooh, that's hard. That's hard. But church, I think we need to look at the older son's response and make sure that's not us. I think Jesus included this in part of the story just to serve as a warning. Just to say, hey, this isn't the way we need to be. This isn't the way we need to act. You know, we should be happy, ecstatic, celebrate when someone who isn't saved walks into our church. Even if they don't make it to the altar that day, we should be ecstatic that they're on the road home. They're on the road home. We should be gently guiding them along that way, road. You know, one of the things with these trucks coming out here, we're encountering people, we're not pushing Jesus on any of them. As much as I want to, we don't, because what we're doing is building relationships, gently guiding people on the road home. Because if people will walk into our parking lot, maybe one day they'll walk into our church. And if they walk into our church, maybe one day they'll say, yes, Jesus. Amen. And we should celebrate with the Father when someone does come to the altar. Not here. I'm sure this has never happened here. But you ever seen someone go to the altar for the first time and think, about time that fool made it up there? Lee's like, no, not me. Let's pick on you, Lee. He's sitting up front. That's a mistake with me sometimes. But we should celebrate. You know, I loved it when Paul was up here talking a little bit ago. And at the end of it, what did we do? We celebrated with Paul over what he's being directed by God. We celebrated, right? Come on. Amen. Amen. And that should be our reaction at all times. Every time we see someone taking one step closer to Jesus, I can see God dancing over that, shouting amen. And we should be doing the same. Amen. Amen. So which one of these characters, the prodigal son, the father, or the older brother, can you most identify with individually? And I don't want nobody to answer this because, you know, it's a personal thing. I think God's working on me in a combination of stuff because I think part of each one of us maybe can identify with some different things with the three of them. I mean, even the older brother, you know, he served him for many years. He was faithful to his father. You know, many of us can identify with being faithful to God. You know, I've never disobeyed your command. You know, we can identify with that. But hopefully we can identify with, I'm not celebrating with you over that one. And which one would you want to have the most in common with? Which one? The prodigal, the father, or the older son? The father. So this morning, I think we just need to turn our eyes onto God and start trying to see people as God sees them. Because when we can see them with the love of Christ, even when he was hanging on that cross, he looked at those people and said, Father, forgive them. That was out of love. That's just amazing. Can you hear the Father whenever somebody gets closer to Jesus saying, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Maybe nobody in this room needs to repent this morning. Or maybe we all do. You know, I don't know. But when someone does repent, let's celebrate with them. Let's celebrate with our God and say, amen. Hallelujah. They came home. They returned. That's just amazing. It's amazing to see that. You know, we all want to see miracles on this earth. That's one miracle I can guarantee somebody, and probably everybody in this room has seen. The miracle of God's amazing grace in our lives. There ain't no greater miracle than that.
Amen.
Seeing Lazarus come back from the dead was not a greater miracle than seeing someone's soul be saved. Think about that. Whew. Wouldn't that be amazing to see Jesus rise someone from the dead right here in this sanctuary? But that would still pale in comparison to see someone up here saying, "Yes, Jesus, I'm yours." So this morning, I just want to close in a word of prayer, and I want us to think about these three characters that Jesus talked about in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal, the father, and the older son. They all deserve our attention because we can relate to one or the other in some ways. And we can learn from each one of them also how to conduct our Christian lives. So I just want to close in a word of prayer and just ask you all just to look at this story with a new set of eyes and think, what do I need to learn from this? What is Jesus trying to teach me? Father God, Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you once again for this service, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for using me the way you have. And Lord, I ask that you use this church in mighty and new ways, Lord. I ask that you use each and every one of us and use us corporately to spread your gospel throughout the land, Lord. There's so many people in dire need of it right now, Lord. Our earth, our whole planet, we need you. Your creation is crying out and groaning right now, Lord, because we need you to move on this earth, Lord, and we need you to teach us to move. And Father, allow us today to celebrate with you every time someone takes a step closer to you, Lord. Let us run down the road and greet them, Lord. Let us gently help to bring them back to you. Let us partner with you to show them the way, Lord. Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.